All right, so we're here talking to Joel Ullman and David Widgington, who are journalists. Joel Ullman is a cartoonist, and David Widgington's a journalist who worked on the graphic, comics reportage Extraction, which is going to be launched tomorrow, December the 5th at 7 p.m. at 900 Ontario East, L'Azilet, Metro Berry-UQAM. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, and you?
Good. So I noticed that on the back of the comic, there's a quote from Joe Sacco, who did Palestine and Safe Area Gradsta, in which he talks about how he'd always thought that mining and extraction was always a really good idea for this kind of comics reportage. And I was wondering if you guys could talk about what drew you to this issue and why someone like Joe Sacco would also have been drawn to it, and what makes it such a good subject.
I guess I'll start. I'm David. Since there's two of us on the phone, I guess what makes mining an interesting issue to talk about in comics, I guess I'll start with just the fact that mining is an interesting thing to talk about, period, regardless in what format, because specifically in Canada, because Canada is a big player in mining, in the sense that about 60% of all mining activity in the world is run by a corporation that's listed on Canadian Stock Exchange, Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal or whatever. So Canada is very influential in the mining sector worldwide. In every country where there's mining, you can pretty much be sure that there's a Canadian company participating in the profits, getting a lot of the profits and leaving a lot of damage behind. So it's important to get this kind of information out to Canadian public, I guess. So on that level, it's an important issue, period. As far as the comics element, it's just an interesting format because, you know, when you think of mining, it could be a bland issue because the only thing we generally hear about is, gold prices are up today, so mining corporations their profits are increasing, and it's not very exciting. Or there's a huge discovery of a new deposit of some kind somewhere, and how great that is, but there's never any discussion of what those discoveries or what the extraction process does to the communities who are living on the land where these discoveries are made. So one way that myself and Frédéric Dubois, who came up with the idea back in January, would be interesting to try and present the information in a different format that might get people off guard because they might be attracted to the issue by the comics themselves, which are absolutely gorgeous. And then kind of be trapped into the subject and learn about the subject through the comics. So I guess that's the initial pretext behind it.
The comics are the gateway drug to get them into the mining information.
Fantastic. A lot of people that I've spoken to who have read the comics have actually been really radicalized by Extraction. I don't know exactly how it works, but I do know that very similarly to Palestine by Joe Sacco, which I referenced earlier, the comics do seem to actually, I don't know, hit people a certain way. Maybe it's a combination of the visual representation and the subjectivity provided to that representation by the fact that it passes through an artist rather than just the lens of a camera. Following on from that, one thing I found very interesting looking at the book was the fact that there were many, many people involved relative to a typical sort of graphic story of this type. There were, I think, four different journalists and four different cartoonists, am I right?
There are four. We started, the way it started is we found four journalists who were familiar with an extraction project or issue. And we asked them to write an article, and then we worked with them to script the articles, and then we gave the reports, the scripted reports, to four different comics artists who drew them out. And Joe is one of the artists who he worked on the gold mining article that was Gold Corp mining in Guatemala.
Could you talk a little bit about the process of as an artist, Joe, if going from this scripted news report effectively into a graphic representation?
Well, I think you know, initially the thing for the journalists was that it was a different kind of experience for them, because I think the journalists are used to not injecting themselves into the story, and with this book, it is very first person, and they're being involved in it, so they had to kind of inject themselves into the story. So that's when the scripting came along. I mean, it had a more of a human element, like their own involvement in the story. So we didn't actually get, like, I had a finished script. So Dave and Frederick and the others worked with the journalists, and you know, I worked with a pretty tight final script, and there was a lot of reference material given, and you know, like, obviously that's the big difference with this and other kinds of like what Joe Sacco does, because he actually goes to Palestine and reports on what he sees. I didn't not go to Guatemala, and so I was working on secondhand information, but we tried to get it as accurate as possible. There was a lot of back and forth with myself and with Don, and I showed my roughs, which is something I don't normally do when I work, just to make sure that we got things right. And there were like little details, like I drew an Italian scientist. I drew him like a ridiculously old man, like he was like 90 years old, and technically he was like a 24-year-old man. So the things that got corrected just for accuracy's sake. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was kind of the challenges, but it was a fun project to work on.
Yeah, because one of in general, you're referencing to Joe Sacco and Joel Ullman, he just mentioned it as well, is that traditionally comics journalism, usually the comics artist and the journalist is a single person,
mm-hmm.
where the person goes out and stays in a place for a while and writes about, collects information and does interviews and then draws their own comic based on their own personal observations and the information that they've managed to gather in the interviews and et cetera. But the difference here was that, you know, the journalist and the comics artist were two separate people. So the transition wasn't always that easy, in the sense that because the comics artist had to rely 100% on the information that was transferred, without having direct experience of the location, sometimes, you know, we weren't sure of, okay, how could the comics artist adapt some of the information into the visual aspect, into the actual drawings, and what needed to be put into the voice balloons or the narrative boxes in mm-hmm. text form in the comic. So that was sometimes challenging because journalism, I guess, not that it was more important than the comics, but the journalistic information is the part that had to get through as journalists. People mm-hmm. had to believe that, yes, this is real information, it's true, you know, the facts are verifiable, et cetera. And in the transition, it was tough to always make sure that that fiction or interpretation or you know, alteration of the information wasn't made, not deliberately, but wasn't made, you know, just through the transferal process from you know, a report to the scripting. Because even in the scripting phase, mm-hmm. there, you know, when you add narrative to a report, you know, how do you tell a story of someone you did an interview over the phone? You don't know what he looks
yeah.
like. You don't know what, you know, where the person was, what their office looks like. But if you're drawing the person on the phone, how do you do that, for example?
Yeah, absolutely.
So those are issues that we had to deal with. But in the end, it worked out fine because, like Joe said before, there was a lot of back and forth information, you know, where we didn't wait till the comics were completely drawn to say, oh, this isn't actually accurate, so you need to redraw it. So we went through various phases, including the roughs, you know, where we all looked at it together with the journalist, if possible, and then kind of discussed it, you know.
Now, As an indie media journalist, I've definitely had the experience of reporting on and with other anarchists. And one typical anarchist critique of reporting in general is this idea that the reporter is sort of shaping a view of the world, which is then being presented to the audience, and this gives the reporter quite a lot of power to shape reality. And within journalism in general, there's been a very strong tension between a tendency towards, an unavoidable tendency, I would argue, towards propaganda and an attempt towards this almost impossible ideal of objectivity. But the tradition with visual art created by an artist who draws traditionally in news media has taken the form of the political cartoon, which historically has always been a very powerful tool of propaganda. And some people have argued that this emergence of sort of comics reportage is kind of like a rebirth of the political cartoon in a form that's more powerful today. And I was wondering, to what extent is it? Do you feel that tension even stronger than maybe a text journalist would, when you're not just creating the story, but you're actually creating the very visual representation of that story that might typically fall to a cameraman or a sound recorder? And to what extent is the greater level of subjectivity a tool that you use to get your message across, or is it something that you're constantly struggling to fight against in order to be a more objective form of reportage?
Let me think about that. That's a long question, but an interesting one. Well, first of all, objectivity doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that right off the bat. We don't pretend to be objective because it's not true. Objectivity doesn't exist. You know, if you think of the anthropologist who goes to a place to objectively observe something and then report on it, the presence of the anthropologist changes the environment. So there is no distant observer that doesn't exist, and it's already been refuted in anthropological circles anyway. It's no
Absolutely.
Longer a concept that is taken very seriously. So I guess that covers the objectivity part. So everything is subjective. As soon as you start observing something, whether it's a journalist or you know you're sitting on the street and looking out, you know, just as an individual. You're seeing it through your own eyes, so you have your own filters based on your own experiences, etc. But I guess what general journalism tries to do is tries to present facts or information that you can double check, you can verify with someone else to see if that information is true.
Mm-hmm.
How it's presented, or what questions that are asked during interviews, or that sort of thing. That's where the subjectivity comes in, what one chooses to report on, what angle a journalist chooses to focus. I guess in this type of book where you know the angle that was taken consciously at the beginning was to do it from a human interest, you know, global justice or whatever perspective,
mm-hmm.
meaning, okay, we're looking at this situation. Here's a mine. Here are citizens living around the mine, people living in communities. Here's a mining company from Canada working wherever, in Canada or elsewhere. And what's going on? How are people being affected? Who's making the decisions? You know, that sort of thing. So on that level, you know, maybe it is propaganda, but what isn't? Because there is no objectivity.
Well, yeah, it's for me, like it's hard to be objective about something that's so blatantly bad. Like mining is just so terrible, and these stories are so horrific. So drawing it, when I was actually drawing like the Goldcorp executives, it's hard not to draw them like villainous looking because they basically are ignoring a whole community's like desire to not have mining. They have a big consulta and a vote against mining, and then it's just summarily ignored by the government and by the mining executives.
Absolutely.
So when you're drawing it, they just look villainous. I mean, it's kind of
that's actually exactly the kind of thing I was sort of getting at. But I definitely have to agree with what both of you said about the nature, again, speaking as a journalist, of subjective reporting being the way it always works. I suppose very quickly, I would just like to end by asking, you know, we've talked about Joe Sacco, and everybody does, and we talked about this book, Extraction, which is a fantastic example of comics reportage. And I was just wondering, is this hugely widespread? Is this something that's happening a lot? And is it generally done with this humanistic edge to it, where the reporter is inserted as a character?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Sacco is the one that causes the most attention because he does it. He's sort of one of the first to really do it, and he does it so well. There's like, I think comics have started to, like, I think it was like Art Spiegelman's Maus when he took on such a giant serious subject as the Holocaust, mm-hmm. and did it in comics form. It was like it sort of opened the door for that sort of thing, and. But I don't know, like, there's a lot of talk about it, but I don't see a lot of people doing it. I mean, there's people like Dave Collier doing, like, reportage. You could argue, he'll do, like, a story about Gray Owl, and he'll ski out to where Gray Owl lives, out in the wilderness, and investigate it. But as far as, like, the exact sort of thing that Sacco's doing, I don't think there's a lot of people doing it, but I just think that there will be more people doing it, because it's obviously intrigues people, and I just can't help but think that there'll be more people doing it.
Well, let's hope so. Anyway,
yeah, absolutely.
I guess I think generally there's a general distrust of corporate media in Canada and the U.S. and just particularly in North America, because there's such a high concentration of media ownership in just a very few hands. So we get the same information over and over from all the various sources, whether it's television, radio, or print news. So people don't, I'm hoping anyway, that people are generally less trusting of the information, and I think a lot of people are realizing that, you know, there are other perspectives than what they're being fed by the media that they have access to, because we don't always have access to a diversity of information. So I'm hoping that more people do, you know, various kinds of alternative media, and comics is just one of those forms. But it's definitely nothing new. You know, Extraction isn't a groundbreaking book in that sense, because there are other examples. I can think of one which is different than this one. It's called Le Photographe, and it was done in the late 80s. I believe it was late 80s. A photographer went with Médecins Sans Frontières to Afghanistan when it was at war with the Soviet Union, and the photographer followed or was supposed to report on and keep a photographic documentation of the trip to set up a couple of hospitals, and they came up with a 3-volume series that was a combination of photography and comics of the journey, and it was very, very interesting. And there are other examples too, but there aren't that many examples, or I haven't actually found any, of where journalists are actually matched with comics artists, so they're actually separate. So I think that's something that could become very interesting, where journalists can go out and write something and then send their information to a comics artist, or to, you know, or script it and send it to a comics artist somewhere else who could draw it.
Yeah.
And I think that could be very, very interesting.
I have to say that I think the way in which Extraction itself is very groundbreaking is definitely the methodology. I'm afraid we've run out of time. I just want to thank you guys both very much, Joe Ullman, an artist, and David Widgington, a journalist working on the book Extraction, an excellent example of comics reportage. Their opening is tomorrow, Wednesday, December 5th, 7 p.m. at 900 Ontario East, L'Azilet. Metro Barrie UQAM, and thanks very much, both of you.
Great, thanks a lot. So come on out, because there's going to be a few speakers talking about various mining projects that aren't covered in the book. There's going to be live music, a DJ, and just a lot of fun.
Cool, thanks very much. I'm sure to be there.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.